Hunter, don't worry about that. I think they were just anxious to get me up here to preach. Right, guys? Oh, they just ready for the sermon today. It's very good to see all of you here this morning. I want to welcome you, especially if you happen to be visiting with us today. It is an honor and a privilege to have you in attendance. I want to invite you to go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 4. Again, we're going to go back to this particular passage, verses 46 through 54, as we examine the story found here in John. Jesus heals an official's son. I want us to pay attention and look at this as we go back and introduce the idea. The first thing that we find is Jesus has returned to Cana of Galilee after having been to a feast in Jerusalem. If you go back a couple of chapters, you're going to find where that Jesus has made his way down to a feast there in Jerusalem. It was the common practice of the males of Jewish descent to go down to several feasts during the course of the year. I think I read somewhere that they were told to go to at least three of the feasts and make their presence known there in Jerusalem. So Jesus has done that. He's gone down for that feast. And then we find that he's coming back, making his way back to Galilee, which is the territory that he was raised in. And he has a little excursion into the land of Samaria. And you'll remember what happens here in John chapter 4. Earlier, Jesus encounters this woman at the well, and you'll remember how that she believes what Jesus is saying about her life. She's convinced he's the Messiah. She goes into the town nearby, and she shares that information with those people. They all come out. And there's a great deal of success, and many people believe in Jesus Christ there in Samaria, which is really a little bit odd because Jesus wasn't really their people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Jesus has been to Judea, and Jesus going to Galilee, and there's big Jewish presence there, but then sandwiched in between is this area of Samaria where the people are not completely Jews, but not entirely not Jews. And so the people believe him. They come out and they don't just believe Jesus because of what the woman said, but after having spent time with Jesus, they recognize something special about him. And many people in Samaria believed in Jesus and they begged him to stay. You know, you find examples in the scripture where when Jesus came there and even performed some amazing things before the people, those folks were kind of ready to usher him out of town. Remember when he healed the demonic man and the people came and they begged him to depart from their territory. We don't really want you here. And you kind of wonder about that and you think, these people are so strange. This man has the power over evil and over sickness and over this demonic fella and you're trying to run him out of the country? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to us. So Jesus has made his way into Samaria and they wanted him to stay. They were the kind of people that believed in him, and they begged him to stay, and he stayed a few days there with them. But now he's making his way back to Cana of Galilee. Now, what do we know about this? John reminds us that this is the same village where Jesus had performed his first miracle a couple of chapters earlier. You remember what he did? They were running out of refreshment there at that wedding, and his mother says to him, hey, they've run out of wine here. For this wedding reception. And Jesus looks at her and says, woman, what have I to do with you? My hour has not yet come. But he went on ahead and he turned water into wine and he refreshed those people. And you remember what they said about that. Wait a second. Why have you waited to bring out the best till now? This is better. Now, John is telling us that the story we're dealing with today will involve the second sign that Jesus did. The first sign being the miracle at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Now, when John is dealing with the miracles of Jesus, we need to understand something. John is sharing these miracles for a purpose. They serve as a sign to the identity of Jesus Christ. In fact, when you look at the Gospel of John, it's a little bit different than the other Gospels in that only 7 miracles are recorded in the entire book. That's it. Only 7. Now, you can go to some of the other gospel accounts and you'll see a miracle after miracle after miracle, all of these different things. There'll be more than seven miracles mentioned there, more healings, but John gives us seven. Now, there may be some significance to that. If you've studied numerology when it comes to the scriptures, maybe that was to signify that this is just the perfect amount of what you need to know who Jesus is. There's going to be seven I am statements made about Jesus in John as well to identify who he is. And that's John's purpose. And so what he's showing here in this sign is that here, this is what? This is your sign so that you know who this man Jesus is. That's why he would open his gospel with, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, without him was not anything made that was made, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And he shares that information with us because that is in harmony with the purpose John has for writing his gospel, to show belief in Jesus Christ. And so that first sign, it was a sign to show Jesus' power over quality. Over quality. The quality of what Jesus produced on that occasion was far superior to the quality that any man can produce. And I think that's a lesson for us, right? It's a lesson for us to understand that the quality of what Jesus wants to offer you is greater than anything that anybody else could offer you. And it's important for us to recognize that and see it. Now we come to this story, which is going to be the second sign, John says, that proves who Jesus is, that he is from God. And it's going to be about an official from Capernaum who needs another miracle. He needs a miracle. And what do we find is the issue here in the story? Well, this official from Capernaum, he has a son who is at the point of death. There are two lessons, really, that I want us to get today. But within these two lessons, if you've looked at your outline, you're going to see about 3 points underneath each of these lessons. But the first thing that I want us to deal with is this. This number one is about his going to Jesus. He went to Jesus. John chapter 4, verse 47. When he what? When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea, he went to Jesus. Folks, if we want something from Jesus that will bless us, we better go to him. You know, we sing a song, don't we? In our hymn book, come to Jesus, what? He will save you, though your sins as crimson flow. If you give your heart to Jesus, he will make them what? White as snow. But what you got to do? You got to come to Jesus if you want his help. He's there. He's offering it to you. This man recognized, I need to go to the source for healing. And can you just imagine that he was probably waiting for that? I mean, his son has gotten sick. He has exhausted every measure that he can exhaust to have this son healed. I would imagine that he's called all kinds of doctors. He sent for all types of people. He said, I need you to come here. I need you to take a look at my son. I need you to help me with this. He recognized that none of this is working. And so his one last option, incidentally his best option, was to go to Jesus. So he's probably sitting there waiting. Okay, when's he supposed to get back from that trip? I don't know how long the son was sick, but as soon as he hears that Jesus is back in town, he goes to see. He went to Jesus. Now the point for us is this. It's time for us to come to Jesus too. It's time for us to come to Jesus. It's time for you to come to Jesus if you've not come to Jesus yet in your life. And follow the example of this official. Number two, he went on his way. After he has this encounter with Jesus, and he asks Jesus to come with him to his house, and Jesus doesn't do what the man asks completely. He's saying to Jesus, listen, I need you to come heal my son, and I need you to come with me to my house to do that. Jesus doesn't go with him. He just says, go on your way. Your son will what? Your son will live. And the scriptures record in verse 50 that he went on his way. How many of us would be willing to walk out of that house without some assurances that what we've asked for has happened? I'm going to need some proof. I'm not leaving here till I know. Not leaving. I need you to come. I've had all these other people come. I need you to come. No, he says, go your way. And that man left. He went. You know, after we come in contact with Jesus, I think there's a lesson for us also. It's time for us to get on our way. We talked a little bit about this last week. Our time has come. Has our hour come? It is time for my hour to come to get busy and get on my way. It's time for you to get on your way, going and listening to Jesus. And when Jesus says to go, go your way. It's time to go. And we have a way that we're supposed to follow. And all of us are responsible for our salvation. And it's important for us to think about that. And it's important for us to get going. So he went on his way. Next, he went to his family. When he got back to the household, you're going to read that we've read already, and we'll read in a few moments again. Obviously, he did what? He shared the information about what had happened with Jesus to his family. He had gone to Jesus, the right source for help. Jesus says, go your way. He went his way. But you know what? When I go my way, I'm not going to travel alone. I'm going to influence other people. I'm going to connect them to what I have learned about Jesus. And so he went to his family and he shared all that information. I know this to be the case because of lesson two. Lesson number two involves this. First of all, he believed the word about Jesus. There's a reason why he didn't go to Billy's apothecary down the street when he was looking for healing. There's a reason why he didn't head over to Philip's, because he knew he needed to see Jesus. There's one man he's looking for, and nobody else will do. And the reason why he needed Jesus is because of what he had heard about Jesus. Probably the sign of the water being turned to wine had circulated through that particular area of the world, and they recognized the power of this man. Maybe there had been some other things that Jesus had done while he was there in Jerusalem, and the message of those things had reached the ears of the people, even all the way in Galilee. So he knew who he needed to go to. He believed the word about Jesus. Here's the guy that I need to see. Do you believe the word about Jesus? Do you believe who he is? John's been trying to tell us who Jesus is. Do you believe the word about Jesus? John 4:47. He believed the word about Jesus because when he heard Jesus was there, that's who he directly went to. Number two, he believed the word from Jesus. When Jesus said, your son will live. Go your way. We don't see any argument. That was enough. When we get a word from Jesus in the Scriptures, is that enough for us? I'm afraid that a lot of times it's not. We'll read that. We'll look at that. Well, is that what he really means by that? Should I really listen to that? Should I obey that? He believed the word from Jesus. Jesus said, your son is going to live. That's good enough for me. Is it good enough for you? We got so many people that want to question God's word, right? It's just not good enough for them. But it was good enough for him. And you're going to see there was a blessing, right, that came as a result of that. He believed the word from Jesus. Do you believe the word from Jesus? Do you trust him? We sang this morning earlier, trust and obey. Can you do what this man did and walk out of that house with no proof that what he said has happened and know that it's going to happen and believe it's going to? There's a lot of things that God has said to us in the Scriptures, promises that he's made to us, and you know what? I'm just not sure that we believe it. And you go to Acts chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Asking it shall be given to you, seeking you shall find, knocking the door shall be opened unto you. For whoever asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks the door is open. What does Jesus continue to say there? What man is there among you that if his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to you, O you of little faith? We listen to the promises that God's made to us, and do we accept them because they're backed by God's Word? There is nothing greater that He could swear by. The Scriptures record that, right? Nothing the greater for Him. He swore by Himself. His word's good. And if he says something in the Scriptures that applies to you, he means it. But we don't trust that, do we? A lot of times. He believed the word from Jesus, and that was enough. I'm going to accept it. You know, there's a lot of people that don't understand everything that there is to know about the Scriptures. We have a lot of what? A lot of why questions. Why this? Why that? It's like our kids, right? Don't we get frustrated with that sometimes when we tell our kids to do something because we may have more knowledge about the situation than they do, and they want to stand there and argue with us and question and say, why? Why do I have to do this? Why? Why do I have to be baptized for the remission of my sins? I mean, really, is there anything that significant about that water over there? Why? And we do the same thing. What if it's as frustrating for God as it is for us as parents sometimes? Say, you know what? Don't you hate it? And I don't have very much, okay? But don't you hate it when somebody questions your expertise in something and they have absolutely no expertise in that area whatsoever? I'm not going to go tell Tommy Brown how to work on a washing machine or a refrigerator, because I can tell you I am the biggest knucklehead when it comes to that kind of stuff. I'm not going to tell Tommy how to fix that. I'm dumb. But I can tell you what Tommy's not going to do. Tommy's not going to come in and tell me how to tell everybody how to play tennis either. I'm not going to talk to Tommy about fishing. I'm the worst fisherman that's ever lived on the face of this earth. I can tell you that. And it's also verified. It's verified. I went on a charter fishing trip one day where they guaranteed Fisher your money back. And I didn't catch anything. And everybody else, all 120 other people that were on that boat, caught something. They had school finders. They parked that boat right there over thousands and thousands and thousands of fish, and we dropped our stuff. Nothing for Chris Preston. Well, I was too embarrassed to ask for my money back. Because I'm an idiot. I'm the worst fisherman. I ain't going to talk to Tommy about fishing. And people come to you and they're going to tell you what you're an expert. Folks, God is an expert on everything. You're going to try to argue with God and tell Him how things are supposed to be? Why you shouldn't do what He said? It's for your benefit. I love this. He believed the word from Jesus. And he didn't hesitate. Jesus said, go your way. Okay. And he's on his way. And he's met by a servant. And his servant said, hey, your son's recovering. And the guy had the wherewithal to do what? To say, hey, well, what time did that happen? Oh, that happened yesterday, about the seventh hour. His fever left him. That's exactly the time when Jesus said, your son's going to live. Do we have that kind of faith? To accept what Jesus says without questioning it, without thinking that we may have a better idea of how to handle things in our life, or do we just trust Him and do what He says, which is what we should do? That's why this is such a fantastic story. Number three, he believed the word of Jesus. Not the word from Jesus, but the word of Jesus. And you get back and you find here in John chapter 4 and verse 53 that he has gone back home. And when he has gotten home, the Father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed and what? All his household. He shared it with them. And every one of them believed in the word of Jesus. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Guess what it demonstrated? It demonstrated Jesus' power over distance. He didn't have to be in the same room with that little boy or that child to heal him. Speak the word. When Jesus said, your child is going to live, that fella could take it to the bank. Believe the word of Jesus. Question is, do we? Do you believe what Jesus has said to you in the Scriptures? And if not, why not? You have an opportunity this morning to make your life right with Him, to put your faith and complete trust in Jesus Christ, because He has told us that if you will repent of your sins, if you will confess that He is the Son of God and be baptized to wash away those sins, raised to walk in this life, He will offer you salvation. And if you'll dedicate your life to Him, be a servant, He will bless you. Do we trust Him? If you haven't responded to the invitation yet in your life, and you need to do so this morning, we stand ready to assist you while we sing the song of invitation.